Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, I am very glad that you decided to come to church on the last Sunday of July. Wow. I mean, come on, the summer has flown by, and today we are wrapping up our summertime series on the book of Romans. We've been reading through Romans. There was a devotional that was available. The devotional is still available online. You can get information at one of our white tents. If you're saying, man, this is my first Sunday, I'd love to go through the Romans devotional, you can still download it and go through it on your own time. We're wrapping up this Romans series today. But here at North Point in 2022, we have said that this is our year to advance. This is our year to advance. This is our year to advance. And the definition of that word advance, it means to move forward in a purposeful way. It means to make progress. This is our year to move forward on purpose and with purpose. This is our year to advance. And one of the ways that we've been advancing this summer is reading through the book of Romans together as a community. Now, there's two main takeaways that we take away from the book of Romans, and it is this: that Jesus came to earth for the salvation of our souls and for the transformation of our lives. That Jesus came for the salvation of our souls, that we were separated from God, and there was no way for us to find our way back to Him, but Jesus came to make a way for us. Jesus came to give us access into the presence of God, to give us a seat at God's table so that we might be sons and daughters of God, and so that we might live in eternity with Him forever and ever. Jesus came for the salvation of our souls, but Jesus did not just come for the salvation of our souls. Romans talks to us about that Jesus also came for the transformation of our lives, that we would be changed by the Spirit of God that now dwells on the inside of us. And kind of our key scripture for this series has been Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and this is what it says: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." This is your true and proper worship. Worship is not just what we sing on Sunday, it's how we live on Monday. Worship is not just the words and lyrics to a song. No, worship is what we do. Worship is our actions during the week. Do you know that you can worship God on your job? Scripture says, do whatever you do as unto the Lord. Whatever it is that you do, if you are a bank teller, you can be a bank teller for God, and it can be worship to Him. If you are a builder, you can build houses for the glory of God. And what you can do it for Him. What you do is your worship to God. So He says that's the way we're supposed to live, because God's been so good to us, because of His mercy to us. We live as this living sacrifice to Him. And then verse 2 says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." There is a pattern that exists within the world. Now, we're not just talking here about, like, there's the church and the world, or there's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Though there is a pattern that exists within humanity, right? Within human nature, Within our fleshly experience here on this earth, there is a pattern that exists. And Paul tells us you don't have to conform to that pattern, but instead you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can be transformed by God by allowing Him to change the way that we think. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Today, I want to give you 5 ingredients of transformation. 5 ingredients of transformation. It's going to be very, very, very practical as we kind of conclude this series this Sunday. The first ingredient of transformation is vision. Vision. Specifically, the vision that you have for your future self. The ingredient to transformation is the vision that you have for your future self. What does the transformed version of your future self look like? What does the transformed version of your future self feel like? You see, it is hard to become something that you cannot imagine. And it's also hard to become something that you don't imagine on a regular basis. Well, one of the things that really helped me in my journey of being transformed, okay, is that whenever I would do something wrong, say something I didn't want to say, have a reaction I didn't want to have, respond in a way that wasn't beneficial or optimal, one of the things that I would do at some point after that, maybe be right after that or at the end of the day, is that I would reflect back on that experience and I would imagine myself doing it differently. I would go back in and I would imagine myself having a different response, saying something different, not saying what I said, but saying something different, not having that reaction, but reacting a different way. And I would reimagine what it could have been like so that whenever I get into the future and I'm encountered with that situation again, I have another picture in my mind of what could have happened, and then I am going to be more likely to choose that next time that situation comes around. Why? Because it's a vision for what's possible. It's a vision for a way that it can be. It is a vision for our future self. And what we've been saying this year is that this is our year to advance. But we said, what are we advancing into? We said that we're going to advance into abundance. We're going to advance into this overflowing fullness that Jesus said was possible for each and every one of us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, this is the reason I've come. I have come that you might have life. That you might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. I want you to do something for a moment. I want you to imagine abundance. What would it look like if you were living in an overflowing fullness that was supernatural? What would it look like in your home? What would it look like in your business? What would it look like in your relationships if you were living out of a supernatural fullness and a supernatural overflow? Come on, I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. Right where are you there? Come on, we're just going to imagine for a moment. We're going to imagine ourselves in the future. Come on, I want you to see yourself there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever your future looks like. I want you to imagine that future self, and I want you to imagine yourself overflowing with love, overflowing with peace, overflowing with joy. I want you to see yourself living without guilt, living with no shame, living with no condemnation whatsoever. Come on, I want you to imagine this. I want you to envision this. Being free from the prison of addiction. Being free from the trap of pleasing people. Being free from fear. Free from anxiety and worry. I want you to see yourself right now operating from a place of supernatural courage. Supernatural confidence. I want you to see yourself now saying no to the temptations that you've said yes to in the past and saying yes to the obedience that you've said no to in the past. I want you to envision what would this be like, overflowing with these things, not living in these prisons and in these traps and underneath these lies and underneath these limitations. What would it be like to say yes to what you need to say yes to and say no to what you need to say no to? Imagine the abundant life in your future. Now I want you to open up your eyes. You can look back up here at me. This is the truth. It is much easier for us to remember who we have been than it is for us to imagine who we can be. It's so much easier for us to remember the failures of our past than it is for us to imagine the abundance that's possible in our future. See, in the Bible, and now we have to understand that God knows this. God created us. God understands this. In the Bible, we see so many times that God changed people's names in the scriptures. And we don't have to go very far. In Genesis chapter 12, we see this man by the name of Abram. And God gives Abram a promise. He calls him out of his country. He calls him out of his family. He says, I've got a new place for you. And he says, Abram, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to bless you. And whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. And you're going to be a blessing to the entire nation. I'm going to make you and your name great. I mean, it's this incredible promise. But God does not just give him a promise. God also gives him a brand new name. And his name was Abram. And God says, I'm changing your name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he did the exact same thing with Abram's wife. Her name was Sarai, which means princess. And he changed her name to Sarah, which means mother of nations. You say, why would God change their names? God gave them a promise and he changed their names because there were so many years between the promise that God gave it and the fulfillment of the promise. He had to give them a name that would remind them about what God said was actually possible. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be the mother of nations. But year one and year two and year three, it was actually 25 years before the fulfillment of the promise would actually come to pass. And they needed to remember this whole time of what God said was possible. Why? Because it's so much easier for us to remember the lack of yesterday than it is for us to think about the abundance of tomorrow. So God knows this, and so God changed their name so that every time they said their name to each other, they would be reminded of what God said was possible in their future. But it doesn't just happen in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament as well. We see Jesus changing the name of one of his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, it says, then Jesus asked, but who do you say that I am? To his disciples, his 12 disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke up, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus told him, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. You didn't discover this on your own. It was shown to you by my Father in heaven. So I will call you Peter, which means a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and death itself will not have any power over it. So Simon actually is what Simon Peter's original name was. It was Simon, which means he hears or he heard. And it's interesting here that he has this revelation, right? And he says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. And basically what Jesus says is, he says, hey, you have heard correctly. My Father has revealed this to you. You didn't come up with this on your own. God has given you a clear picture. And he says, you are correct. And he says, now I will call you Peter, which means a rock. Come on, you are going to be a rock. And then Jesus goes on in the very next verse, and I'm going to go to the Amplified version of the Bible for this verse, and he says this. He says, I will give you the keys or the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, whatever you permit, whatever you declare lawful on earth will already be loosed in heaven. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, hey, Peter, I'm going to give you the authority to bring heaven to earth. And this is not just for Simon Peter. This is for everyone that has the declaration that Peter did, that you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the Lord, you are the Son of God, you are the one that came to fulfill the promise from long ago. When you have that declaration, this is what God says, I'm going to give you authority on the earth. And you're going to have the authority to bring heaven to earth in every single situation. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus changes Peter's name, right? From Simon to Peter. He says, you're going to be, I'll tell you what I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you a rock. Why do you need to know? Because, Peter, there's going to be a time when you deny me and you need to remember what I've called you. There's going to be a time when you want to walk away from me. There's going to be a time and a season that you're going to have some doubts and some questions, but you need to know that I have changed your name and I am going to fulfill this thing in your life. Now think about this, that the Bible says that we were created in God's image, right? And the image that we were created in, it really came out of God's imagination, right? God imagined this and God created. He spoke into existence what came out of God. And the same is true about your future self, right? Your future image, the future image of yourself is going to come out of your imagination today. So if you can't imagine yourself being free, if you can't imagine yourself overcoming, If you can't imagine yourself living without guilt, shame, and condemnation, if you can't imagine yourself living in love, living in peace, living in joy. Now, it might take a little bit of work, but here's what you've got to do. You have got to work to imagine yourself becoming everything that God told you was possible. Imagine yourself living that abundant life, because the image of our tomorrow is going to be found in the imagination of our today. It's an ingredient for transformation. You've got to have a vision of your future self. Here's the second ingredient. The second ingredient is evaluation. Evaluation. Now, more specifically, it is an honest evaluation. And if you have been a part of our community for very long, you've probably heard me say this before, but I believe the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life is to be 100% gut level honest with yourself. Honest about your motives. Honest about your character, honest about your integrity, honest about yourself. I think it's the hardest thing that humans will ever do is to be 100% honest with themselves. So if we talk about vision and evaluation, we would say this, that vision is about knowing where I am going, but evaluation is about knowing where I am now. And it's a vital ingredient in our transformation. Because this is what transformation really means. Like, transformation means to change. No matter what definition you use, it's to change something. And then all the things are listed. But it's like to change. Transformation means to change. Why we need an honest evaluation is because I won't change what I don't know needs to change. It's pretty simple. I won't change what I don't know needs to change. So if I'm not honestly evaluating my life, I don't know that things in my life need to change. So I need an honest evaluation about where I am now so that I can change what needs to be changed. Friends, if the vision of your future self is already matching the evaluation of your current self, then one of two things needs to happen. Either one, you need to get a bigger vision of who you can become, or two, you need to be honest about where you are now. If the vision you had a moment ago for your future self is matching your current self, then one of these two things needs to happen. You need to think bigger about God and what he can do in you and what he has for you, or you need to be honest about who you actually are now, and you need to talk to the person sitting next to you. They'll be happy to tell you. But here's the truth. Many times we aren't honest with ourselves because we want to feel closer to the goal. I want to feel like I'm closer to my transformation. I want to feel like I'm closer to this better. I want to feel like I'm closer to that. However, whenever we buy into this deception, it actually keeps us from getting closer because we won't make the necessary changes that we need to make that takes us to our transformation. So just see this, okay? If you say, well, where are you on the scale of this? And you say, well, I'm a 9, but you're actually a 4. Well, I'm a 9. You know, 85% of all drivers think that they're in the top 50% of drivers. Okay? So that means 35%, a third, is just delusional, okay? Like they have missed it. And so whenever you go around thinking that you're a 9 and you're actually a 4, you're not working hard to change that. Why do I think that I'm a 9? Because it makes me feel better about myself. When I evaluate myself in loving my neighbor and I feel like I'm a 9, it makes me feel better about myself. Whenever I evaluate my prayer life and I feel like it's a 9 and I want to say it's a 9, but it's actually a 4, why do I do that? Because I feel better. But what does that actually prevent? It actually prevents me changing what I need to change so that I could actually be transformed. So me desiring to be closer to the goal, me pretending to be closer to the goal is actually hindering me from what I really desire. And that is to actually be closer. So we deceive ourselves and make us feel better instead of doing what we need to do, and we need to evaluate. We need to honestly evaluate where we are so that we can transform. Now, here's a couple scriptures that you can use as some metrics of evaluation. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We define attitude as our settled way of thinking or feeling, right? about someone or something. So you need to think and feel about all the things and all the people the way that Jesus thinks and feels. That is our standard. Now, if you think that you're a 10 on that scale, I would love to meet you after service. You can pray for me, okay? Here's another scripture in Galatians chapter 5. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 fruit of the Spirit there that we can do what? That we can evaluate our life against. How is your kindness been lately? How about your self-control? Where are you at when it comes to your peace and your joy? Where are you at? Evaluate, honestly evaluate yourself in these areas, and then you can make the changes where you need to make the changes so that you might experience the transformation that God has in store for each and every one of us. Here's the third ingredient for transformation. We got to have vision. All right, we got to have evaluation. And then the third is patience. Patience. The journey from where you are now to where you can be is not going to happen as fast or as effortless as you would like it to. All right, I'm going to say that very disappointing news to you again, okay? The journey from where you are now to where we can be does not happen as fast or as effortless as we would like it to happen. I say this a lot, but transformation happens over time, not overnight. Transformation, everybody in this room can experience transformation. Everybody in this room can have more love, more joy, more peace. Everybody in this room can live with less and less shame and guilt and condemnation. Everybody in this room can experience supernatural courage and confidence. Everybody in this room can say yes to more things they need to say yes to and no to more things that they need. Every single person in this room can experience transformation. However, that transformation will not happen overnight, but it can happen over time. On the transformation journey, you have to be okay with baby steps. You have to be okay with 3 steps forward and then 2 steps back. If you're not okay with that, you are not going to experience transformation. You have to be okay. You see, if you don't understand the length of the process, then you are going to get frustrated by the perceived lack of progress. You have to know the length of this process. This is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen just this week. You're not going to be fixed by the end of August. Like, it's not going to happen. Right? And so what happens is when we don't know the length of the process, we get frustrated because of the lack of progress, right? But you know, if you ever like went to your grandparents' house, right? And the grandparents, like, they measured you on the inside of the pantry door or something, right? You know, they measured you. And, like, I mean, if we were evaluating you on a daily basis, you're growing up, you're 11 years old or whatever, you know, like, you're like, man, I'm not growing at all. I'm not growing at all. I'm not growing. Man, I'm not even half an inch taller. You go to grandma's house, you know, and then you look and you're like, oh, here you were 6 months ago. Wow, look how much you've grown. And it's like, that was me? Like, I did that? I grew. Why? Because it just happens. And it's the same way with us on the inside. You might not feel like you're growing, but if you just keep on moving forward, guess what? You can look back one day and it'll be just like grandma's house. You say, wow, I'm not having the same reactions I used to have. Wow, I'm not having the same thoughts that I used to have. Wow, I'm not having the same responses that I used to have. Now, it took me a length of time to get there, but I have transformed. But if you don't understand the length of the process, you're going to be frustrated. You'll be frustrated at your lack of progress. This is what the enemy will come and tell you, man, this is taking you too long. It doesn't take everybody else in here this long. You're the only one. You're the only one moving this slow. You're the only one not seeing any results. I mean, look at these people there. They're lifting their hands, they're clapping, they're cheering. Like, look, you it's taking you way too long. That's what the enemy comes and does. Why? Because he wants you to feel like the length of the process can be shorter. It can't. Listen, you cannot shortcut your way to transformation. There are no shortcuts. Now listen, you can speed it up. Let me be clear. You can speed it up, but you cannot cut corners. You can read more. You can pray more. Like, you can condense it down. You really can. You can read one book a month or you can read 5 books in a week. That's up to you. You can pray for 5 minutes a day or you can pray for 35 minutes in a day. You can cut it down, but you can't cut the corners. You can go to counseling once a month or you can go to counseling once a week. It's up to you, but you cannot shortcut the process. It takes what it takes. I mean, just think about the 12 disciples for a moment. The 12 disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. Jesus handpicked these people and then spent 3 years with them. And after 3 years, they still didn't fully get it. After 3 years, Jesus still beating his head on the side of the boat. What's wrong with you guys? Do you still not have any faith? They didn't always understand what Jesus was talking about. They were misunderstanding him all the time. As we said a minute ago, Peter's denying that he even knew Christ, that he ever even met Jesus. The disciples are full of fear and they're full of doubt after Jesus' crucifixion. And they spent 3 years with Jesus. And they weren't fully transformed after that. There's a length to the process. Even the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote the book of Romans that we've been studying, right? This is what he said in Romans 7, verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. You've missed an awesome opportunity to say amen. Yeah, I feel that right there. Why? Because if you want transformation, it takes patience. Patience. And part of patience is toughness. Just being mentally and emotionally tough enough to endure the process and not give up. The other day I was talking to somebody about patience and I was like, man, patience is just grit for the grind. It's just the grind of life. It's just showing up and grinding it out, showing up and reading, showing up to church, showing up and praying, showing up and work. It's just the grind. It's just grit for the grind. It takes patience to just keep on grinding. Jesus understood how patience plays into our growth. And in Luke chapter 8, Jesus shares this parable. He shares the parable about the seed of the word of God. And he says, you know, some seed falls on the hard path and some seed, it falls among the rocks and some seed falls in the weeds and there's other seed that falls on good, fertile soil. And he's given this illustration of the hard path, the birds come and eat it, and the rocks, the roots can't grow down, the weeds choke out the life. And then he gets to the fertile soil, and this is what he says in verse 15. He says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently, everybody say patiently. And patiently produce a huge, say huge. Huge harvest. That's what Jesus says. Whenever you get the truth of my word in your heart, it will produce a huge harvest. But the only way you get to huge is through patience. Jesus is letting us know right up front, oh, there's power in the word. There is power in my truth. There is power to produce supernatural things. But if you want a huge harvest in your life, let's use it a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit. If you want the harvest of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, if you want that harvest in your life, then you are going to have to understand it's going to be patiently produced. It can be a huge harvest, but the huge harvest is not going to show up overnight. You can have it, but you got to have patience if you want to get it. Patience is just an ingredient to transformation. We got to have some grit for the grind. Let's move on. What's the fourth ingredient? The fourth ingredient to transformation is teachability. Teachability. It is going to be hard for us to change and transform without teachability. Now teachability is twofold here. Number one is this. It's maintaining a teachable spirit. Okay, it's a teachable spirit, meaning that I'm not a know-it-all, okay? I don't pretend that I know everything that I need to know about Jesus, about God, about faith, about life. I don't pretend that I know it all. Why? So therefore, I understand there's more that I need to know, so I'm going to maintain a teachable spirit. But it's not just maintaining a teachable spirit, it's also maintaining a teachable seat. It's intentionally sitting to learn. So it's not just me walking around going, well, I don't know it all. It's not just me walking in humility. It is also me sitting at the seat and intentionally saying, I want to learn from this book. I want to learn from this podcast. I want to learn from this sermon. I want to learn from this seminar. I'm going to intentionally take my time and I'm going to sit down in the seat so that I can actually learn something. So the teachable spirit is all about humility, but the teachable seat is all about hunger. And you have to have both if you really want to grow and transform. You can't just be humble. You also have to be hungry. You got to show up. You got to show up ready to eat. You got to show up with some hunger on the inside that says, I need something more. Proverbs 18:15 says this. Wise people want to learn more, so they listen closely to gain knowledge. Wise people want to learn more. That's about an attitude. It's an attitude that says, I want to learn. It's an attitude of humility that says, I don't know everything that I need to know. I have a desire to learn. But then they listen closely to gain knowledge. So when somebody's talking, they lean in. They are leaning in life. Why? Because they are sitting in the seat of the learner. They want to know more, so they listen closely to gain knowledge, and that's action. So if you want to be teachable, you got to have the attitude and you got to have the action. You got to have the right spirit and you got to take a seat so that you can learn. Lyndon B. Johnson said this, says, you aren't learning anything when you are talking. Epictetus said this, he says, we have two ears and one mouth, so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. We must be learning. You know, they say that leaders are learners, right? And every single day you lead the most important person that you will ever lead in your life, that is yourself. So you need to be learning something every day. Why? So that you can lead yourself better than you've ever led yourself. You need to have a teachable spirit and you need to take a teachable seat, so that you can learn what you need to know to move forward into abundance. Now, here's the last thing. The last thing is celebration. Celebration is the last ingredient in our transformation. If you do not celebrate small successes along the journey, you will probably never see the big changes that are possible. I'm gonna say that again. If you don't celebrate your small successes along the journey, you will probably never, ever arrive at the big changes that were possible. Why? Because celebration helps create momentum. And it is momentum that takes you to your next celebration. And the cycle continues and continues and continues and continues. Tom Peters, a business coach, he said this, celebrate what you want to see more of. Now, he's talking about this in terms of business, that whatever you celebrate within the company, you're going to see more of, right? What you recognize gets repeated, right? Whatever you reward gets repeated. That's his principle here. Whatever you want to see, okay, you need to reward that. You need to celebrate that. But I'm going to take it out of the business context and take it into your own personal life. What you want to see more of, you need to celebrate. You need to celebrate. Now listen, this I'm gonna tell you, when Des and I first got married, this used to drive her crazy. Did you hear her say, yep? She's confirming, right? She's like, he ain't lying, yeah. And still to this day, I celebrate everything. I celebrate the little thing. I mean, if I take out the trash, it's my job. I do it every week, but I'm taking that trash out, boom. Look at that, bag didn't tear, boom, wow, look at that tie right there, man, sturdy, look at that, wow, that's amazing. Hey, babe, taking out the trash. She's like, what are you doing? I'm celebrating my success. Whenever I have a moment of empathy, because I used to not have that, I'm not talking about even supreme. I'm talking about just like what people would consider a normal amount of empathy. I'm not talking about going above and beyond. I'm just talking about when empathy shows up in my life, sympathy shows up in my life towards her. I'm like, babe, did you see that? Did you see that transformation? Like 10 years ago, that would have never happened, but it happened today. Can you believe that? It's amazing how much I'm growing and changing and transforming as a human being. It drives her crazy. But do you know what it's led me to? More and more transformation. Because I will celebrate every little thing. Why? Because I need the momentum to keep on transforming and to keep on changing. And what people do is people let themselves get talked of. Like, you shouldn't celebrate that. Let me tell you, the only person that doesn't want you to celebrate your transformation is the enemy. It's the only person. Because I promise you, when you start transforming, when you start loving people at a greater level, when more peace shows up in your life, when more joy shows up, when more patience shows up in your life, when more kindness and self-control, I promise you, God's up there going, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The only person that doesn't want you to celebrate your change and transformation is the enemy. And I'm never going to give him the pleasure. I'm going to celebrate the trash like it's the Super Bowl. Just looking for like a ring, like trash person of the year. I mean, like, come on, I am celebrating. Why? Because I want to continue to see transformation at greater and greater levels. And if you don't celebrate your small successes, you're probably never going to see those bigger changes. Celebrate yourself along the way. You know, we have a house habit here at North Point that says we cheer enthusiastically. That's why whenever, you know, we stand up, we cheer, we have a guest, we stand up and cheer. If you're new to our community, be like, man, these people like clap a lot, they shout a lot. Like, they, why? Because we have a habit that says we cheer enthusiastically. If you say, well, I don't even understand, I don't even know what I'm cheering for, it doesn't matter. If the person next to you stands up, you just stand up. If they're clapping, you clap. I don't even know who that person is, but I'm cheering enthusiastically. You know why people have a hard time doing that? Because they've never cheered enthusiastically for themselves. When I can't cheer for myself, it's hard for me to understand why would I stand up and cheer for anybody else. I've been practicing for years cheering for myself. Every day I'm cheering for myself, every single day. Why? Because I want to cheer for others well. And if I'm not cheering my success, if I'm like, I don't deem my success worthy to be cheered, then I'm measuring other people's success, saying, do they really deserve my applause? Who are they? What have they accomplished? What have they done? But when I'm cheering for myself, taking out the trash, I promise you, whoever walks up on the stage has done something better than that. So I'm going to cheer for them because I've been cheering for myself doing all of these menial tasks. And I cheer enthusiastically. Don't go, oh, well, I mean, this is trash. Maybe I'll give myself one clap. Well, I was nice to my spouse, so, okay, maybe that's a two-clapper. No. Cheer enthusiastically. Why? Because it's an ingredient in your transformation. It's an ingredient in your transformation. Get a vision for your future self that Jesus said was possible. You're not making that up. This is not some fairy tale figment of your imagination. Jesus said, this life of abundance, of overflow, of fullness, it's possible for you because I'm going to fill you with my spirit. Get a vision in your head for what's possible in your life. Honestly evaluate yourself where you are now compared to that vision of what's possible. Have patience for the journey. Doesn't matter how bad you want to get there, it's going to take some time. Be okay with one step in a 1,000-step journey. Have some patience. Be teachable along the way. Don't get halfway and think you know everything you need to know to get the rest of the way. Don't say, oh, well, I mean, I've been in church. I've sat through all the sermons. There's nothing else I need to hear. No. Have a teachable spirit. Humble. Sit in a teachable seat. Be hungry to learn. Be teachable. And then celebrate. Celebrate every step along the journey. Everything that you learn, everything that begins to change and transform, celebrate it all. and you just sprinkle those ingredients. And wow, at the end, it's this beautiful transformation. When we get to the end of our life and we look over our shoulder, we're like, whew, come a long way since I was 22. Man, I don't look anything like I did at 35. Wow, I can't believe, like, I thought I was a finished product at 53, but man, can you believe how much I've changed? That's what transformation looks like. And Jesus is the one that makes that possible. Jesus makes it possible. Here at North Point, we close out all of our services with a lead acrostic. And in this year of advance, we got to lead ourselves well. It just stands, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying and doing it in? Here's our learn today. The transformation doesn't just happen. It's an intentional process. It doesn't just happen because you would like it to happen. Transformation requires ingredients. The evaluation is this. Are you missing an ingredient in your journey? You know, it's amazing, and you might be this person today that, like, whenever I had you close your eyes and envision the future, like, that was, like, so hard for you. You're like, whoa, like, really? Like, overflowing love, peace, joy, no condemnation? Wow. Free from fear and anxiety? What would that even be? You've never even imagined that. You've never even envisioned that. So that's missing. So what do you need to do this week? You need to get repetition of envisioning yourself in your future different than you are today. Everything that God said you could be. Maybe it's evaluation. Maybe there's been a lack of honest evaluation because you want to feel better about yourself, feel like you're a little bit further down the road than you actually are, and you know you haven't really been honest about some areas of your life. Maybe that's where you need to fit in. Or maybe it's patience, or maybe it's teachability. Maybe as you've gotten older, you thought, man, I've heard this enough. I don't have time anymore to sit and to learn. No. It's an ingredient in transformation. If you're not learning, you're not growing. And then lastly, celebration. Maybe that's where you need to jump in and say, man, I've got to start celebrating myself. I mean, I'm fighting the fight, but man, I never take a moment and just clap for myself, to cheer enthusiastically for myself. And I need that celebration to create some momentum that takes me into my next moment of celebration. I need that to become a cycle in my life. The application is this: work to add or improve one ingredient this week. Just take one area. Take one area this week. Maybe you say it's non-existent. Great, put it in your week. Maybe say, I struggle a little bit. Okay, great. Improve it this week. Just put it into your week this week. Very simple. Very simple. Sprinkle an ingredient of transformation into your week. And then the D, as always, is just do it again. This is the transformation process. It never stops. It never stops. We keep on transforming. We keep on growing. Come on, why don't you stand with me today?
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.